The town of Turley, Oklahoma is not what you would call a happening place. Until the 1960s, perhaps it was. It was growing anyway. Turley, Oklahoma in the 1960s was like Manassas. It was a burgeoning suburb feeding the reaching fingers of a metropolitan area. In this case, it's a feeder of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And in Turley in the 60s, houses went up and the town square was manicured and people liked to go around saying, "I'm from Turley," as a way of expressing the fact that their life was free of the clutter of the city and the traffic and the hubbub, but close enough that they might still go into Tulsa to have a bit of theater on a Friday night. Turley was a place people were proud to be from for a long time, until oil industry jobs started moving out of Tulsa and all the wealthy people went with them. Those who could go went, and what was left, what is left, is not exactly the same burgeoning downtown that our own church building is situated in the middle of here at Church in Maine. According to an article in our denominational magazine, UU World, that some of you might have seen, Turley, Oklahoma has slid so far into economic and social decline that the local pizza joint won't even deliver anymore. And the closest thing to a functioning downtown they have is a strip of derelict auto repair shops and salvage lots. The unemployment rate in Turley is twice the national average, and the average age of the residents is some 14 years younger than almost any major city in their surrounding region. The majority of students in the Turley schools qualify for free school lunches, and a shocking number of residents lack health insurance or even any access to health care. And yet, in the middle of abandoned spaces and empty lots, people are creating community, like we do. People are finding one another, and they're coming to know one another as precious, and they're changing each other's lives, but there's more than that as well, because the Unitarian Universalists in Turley, Oklahoma, led by their minister, the Reverend Rod Robinson, are also uplifting community in a way that is marvelously and wholly in its very topsy-turviness. You see, in Turley, instead of starting with Sunday morning and music and fellowship and fun like we do, they have started their church life, their community, first of all, by seeing themselves as a place of mission to serve the people around them. Instead of focusing internally on their own membership or member services, they are buying an old downtown church and rehabbing it as a community center. They bought an overgrown city block that they're planning to turn into a demonstration vegetable garden and a park open to the residents of Turley to enjoy. They help provide health care through a volunteer clinic. They clean up their blighted neighborhood with their own two hands. They help people get to the grocery store in the next town over because the grocery store in Turley up and closed. The Unitarian Universalists in Turley, Oklahoma have 3 to 10 people in worship every Sunday. But when they hold a big event at the community center, almost 200 people come every time. By all measures that we church folk usually understand as marking success, these people barely exist. Their town is a shell of what it once was. Abundance as they knew it is gone, and chances are it ain't coming back. And yet they are thriving with a new sense of what abundance means for them, a new sense of what mission means for them, a new sense of why a church should exist in the first place. They are thriving, and they are changing their world. And their congregation is not their own, but a place for the whole community. The entire community benefits from the grace and the abundance of the Unitarian Universalists in Turley, Oklahoma, all 3 to 10 of them who gather on Sunday morning. Again, I quote from the UU World, which says, "This ministry is not about Sunday morning. The numbers that Ron Robinson, their minister, tracks are not his membership, their attendance, or their pledging. Instead, he's interested in the number of people who come to his health clinic, the number of community groups they've partnered with, and the number of community events their center can sponsor." I gathered early this week with other Unitarian Universalist ministers to talk about what it is to serve one another in this time of economic retraction. One of my colleagues, actually a dear mentor of mine who is really sad about the state of the world, was so bold as to say that the United States has been experiencing a time of seemingly endless abundance and expansion for many years, and that we seem to have reached a final end to that abundance. Manifest destiny can only go so far until there's no more wilderness to conquer, and there is no further economic strategy that will cause us to survive the inevitable decline once peaks of all kinds have been reached. Peak oil, peak population, peak building rates, peak prices, peak everything eventually has to dip away from the pinnacle and head back down to something else. There are those among my colleagues who argue that we are indeed at the end of American abundance, and it's time we must admit it. I am no economist, and I do not like making dire predictions, but I will say that these are difficult times. Whatever else Occupy Wall Street and its attendant sister movements may or may not represent, we know that it is a stand-in for the anxiety of the people in a time of severe economic retraction. The same might be said for some aspects of the Tea Party movement on the far side of the political spectrum from Occupy. These resistance movements embody the hurting, hoping, seething, yearning mass of the American people, most of whom are not at all sure what the future looks like. This is a time of unrest. There is tension in the air. The cities and the towns we call home are changing all around us, and we fear that there will never be enough. In an architecture review segment of the Washington Post, of all places, this week there was a feature from Philip Kennicott that said of Washington, D.C., that, quote, "We are a city entering a new age of symbolism. The American century has passed, and the United States, riven by political dysfunction, debilitated by cultural infantilism, and saddled with unsustainable debt, is passing into an age of decline." So how are we to respond to an environment of growing scarcity? How do we minister to one another in the face of changing places and changing needs when what we knew might never come back in exactly the same way ever again? If predictions of continued economic retraction are actually going to come true, if we are indeed passing into an age as an empire in decline, then in this season of Thanksgiving, there is no time for empty fantasies of distant castles and ball gowns and kingdoms glittering with jewels. If the kind of abundance we once knew is slipping away or changing right in front of our eyes, it would behoove us to pay attention and to mobilize what forces there are for change. If there's one thing I know about money in a free market democracy, it is this. Money is supposed to move. Something is supposed to happen with it. It is meant to be a means to an end. That end always being a better life for more people, more of the time. So when money stops moving and threats abound from those who say that they as job creators will just take their money and go home instead of putting it to good use, I fear we run the risk of hoarding our abundance instead of letting it do what it is meant to do, namely feeding us all. And in the midst of all of this, there are people, including us, who are taking steps to turn all of this unrest into action. There are organizations like Voice, the community organizing group we work with, who are trying to work with major corporations and financial stakeholders in this economy rather than just picketing against them. What we're doing right now with Voice around foreclosure in Prince William County is serving as an example for the whole country of how abundance in the form of corporate profit can be put to good work in a capitalist democracy. We're asking major financial institutions like Bank of America to reinvest some of the money they made selling questionable mortgages right here in our county. We're proposing a multi-million dollar reinvestment fund that will serve to provide low interest bridge loans that span the gap between what people can afford to pay and what their burgeoning interest rates demand of them. This fund, once established, has the potential to keep people in their homes. It also has the potential to keep people paying their mortgages, which is something the banks want to. Make your money, we have said to major financial institutions. Make your money and then put some of it back in so that we'll still be around to make money off of in the future. Hold your gold, but don't be miserly about it, because the people have needs and the communities of Prince William County are ready to be allies with the powers that be, so long as those powers are willing to be allies with us. If this is indeed an age of retraction, if the abundance we once knew is changing and going away, it is all the more important that every stakeholder, job creator and job searcher alike, work together toward effective, nonpartisan, community-based solutions. We can work together. We can be effective. We can do something in the face of so many people doing a great lot of nothing. And then when all of our doing is done, we can also choose to be something, to approach the world through a particular way of living in it. We can choose to seek out abundance, and we can choose to find it wherever we are. 2 weeks ago, we talked about gratitude in our service, and I see these two sermons as sort of stuck together because I haven't been able to get some of those ideas out of my head. What is it to be grateful for life as it is, even when it is not everything we dreamed it to be? In these days, we must find gratitude even in the midst of our unrest. And yet it is difficult. It is so difficult to look past the reality of scarcity and toward gratitude. There is not enough money, not only in many of our own homes, but in our public service budgets, in our national treasuries, in our state and local coffers. There are not enough jobs. There is not enough progress, not enough effort, not enough bipartisanship, not enough, not enough, not enough. And there are times in this season of scarcity that all one can do is look around, gesture angrily, and look for a place to put your fear. When we are ruled by this sense of scarcity, this not enoughness makes its home at the center of our being. And fear of losing what little we have becomes a dominating theme in all of our thought processes and even in our spirituality. We are governed by fear and rush forward trying to stay ahead of the curve, all the while missing the blessed fact of our existence as it slips away behind us. And the people with the money lament the scarcity of the economic and social system too. Its controls, its bureaucratic incompetence. In the words of the great sage, the notorious B.I.G., the wealthy people say, "Mo money, mo problems." While the poor say, "Honey, I will take your problems any day." The idea of scarcity, that if you don't get yours now, you will never get it, drives the financial system to turn faster and faster until it blows, and then and only then do the powers that be remember why the system exists in the first place: to serve the people who are fed by growing economies and fair prices and honest competition. Fear feeds on fear, and scarcity upon scarcity, And it is a cycle that must be broken, starting with the recesses of our own hearts and expanding into our communities, and one might dare to hope into national and international politics too. We must not make our choices merely out of fear of scarcity, but out of some genuine appreciation for the abundance we have. It could be that we find ourselves locked into the greatest and most long-lasting economic shift in American history. It could also not be that. I don't know. Our dreams of successive generations all having it better materially and professionally than those that came before might be crashing up against painful realities. No matter what she does, Cinderella may never get her prince and move into her castle and live happily ever after, surrounded by jewels and gowns and stuff. Life in Turley, Oklahoma may never again be what it was in 1967. But we don't need fantasies to be happy. We don't need imagined, unending expansion to know who we are and what our mission is in this world. We can work together to bend the system so that it works better for us. And even when we can't do enough, even when scarcity remains real, there is for us also an abundance that can never be taken away, so long as we are willing to seek it out. In these times, we are called to stand in what Parker Palmer calls the tragic gap. He says, "This is the gap between the hard facts that surround us and what we know to be possible. Not our dreams or our fantasies, but what we know to be possible because we've seen evidence of it with our own eyes. And we have seen evidence with our own eyes of what is possible when good people across every spectrum work together to transform their communities. In Turley, Oklahoma, the tiny little UU community has become the focal point of a dying town. Dozens of young unemployed people have gotten their first steps toward building a life there in that place because the Unitarian Universalists of Turley refused to be cowed by the scarcity around them and found instead an abundance of spirit, an abundance of soul that feeds them and literally feeds the people. We stand in the tragic gap, ready to be of service and ready to see beauty and abundance, however they might present themselves to our waiting eyes. We stand in the tragic gap, not fearful for all that we have lost, but willing to embrace what may yet come if we can be a part of bringing it about. For there is abundance here among us, born out of community, born out of relationship, born out of courage and a great willingness to bless the world as it is, even as we struggle to make it genuinely better and more nourishing for more people, more of the time. There is abundance here in our sanctuary and in our hearts and in our nation, if only we can see it in the midst of this scarcity. And once we have seen it and know it to be true, pledge ourselves to act in hopeful ways and hold that tension between the world as it is and the world as it could be, even now, especially now. May we see our abundance, and may we freely choose to share it in these times and in all the days and years ahead. May it be so, and amen.